For May the 12th, 2017, we talk about the Deadly Premonition card game, Foul Play, and we ask you what game you spent the most money on. Welcome to Level 196. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is David Meismith.
I'm Jala Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Let me see here. Banter. Here's the heuristic. Anything
banter.
Going on with the network?
I can follow up and tell. I can first say thank you to the listeners who were worried about my health. I'm doing a lot better now, and I'm not dying anymore. So
good.
Thank you. Yeah, I did my performance at the Houston Oriental and Folklore Dance Festival, and it was super fun, and I did a bunch of workshops, and I've been dancing with my belly quite a bit in the last bit. So now I'm getting back into my other hardcore training, and my cardio is shot, but I'll get it back. Don't you worry. I'll get it back.
Well,
jump rope.
Yeah, right.
There needs to be a more dignified name for when you jump rope for, I must say jump rope for heart, which was a different thing. I don't know. Maybe this might be sexist of me. But probably it doesn't sound right to say, hey, Rocky is jumping rope, and hey, those school children are jumping rope. They feel like two different things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I can see what you're saying.
Am I off base?
It's just the intensity.
Yes, I suppose. Huh. Well, that's
children run, adults run. Yeah. It's the same thing. So
yeah.
It's
okay.
Just the intensity.
is that specific cadence on intensity a reference to something?
No, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It could be. Like, I just forgot what I was referencing. It's just a thing that I've been doing for so long that I don't know anymore.
Yeah,
it's just part of it. Might be one of those situations.
Just part of the air at this point, yeah. Well, congratulations on bouncing back like that.
Congratulations on not dying.
Yeah, well,
yes.
You know, it's like, you know, getting sick as an adult is no small thing, you know?
Kidding, especially when, like, you have all these plans and you're doing a bunch of shit and you got, like public stuff coming up and whatever. Yeah. That's
getting sick, kind of like hangovers, increases in time the older you get. Like it starts to be 2 days in a row. That's not good.
Yeah. No,
well,
it's
the problem is
when I was little, I used to get sick a lot more than I do now. But then again, I have like an exceptionally healthy lifestyle by comparison to
right.
So, you know, like, whatever.
I thought you were going to start that statement with, when I was little, I used to get hangovers for X number.
I'm thinking of it, like, aside from my stomach ailments, which are related to different things, like, I only get, like, hey, this is a fever, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to have, like, a head cold or a chest cold or an ear infection, like, once a year, and then it's just, like out of there. But every year, you know, it takes longer and longer to get over.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is the thing. Oh, and that fever that I got last year was actually really sucky.
Yeah, it does. My just thing is, I have a very strong or very narrow margin to which, like, if I get pretty much any fever, like, above, say, like, 101 or something, I start, like, talking to walls and stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah,
I was like over that temperature when I was feverish and stuff, and I was still working and like going on about my day. Oof, and then you're like, "Yeah, hallucinations," and I'm like, "What? What are you talking about, dude?" Like,
yeah,
I'm sick, but
I think the take home message is that I'm only like a couple of degrees separated from like from just going completely off my rocker.
and it's been that's been the case for a long time, hasn't it? Like, I remember you getting like loopy fevers back in like high school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it sucks.
That's weird. I have never been sick to the point that I have hallucinations or any of that stuff. So
I've only had it once when I had pneumonia. But
I don't know that I don't think I've ever had pneumonia.
Oh, it sucks. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, you, like, basically, the main thing that I've ever gotten is, like, when I was little, I would have like allergy related ear infections and things, you know, like cold and stuff like that. I guess maybe flu was in there somewhere, but it was never like super severe. Like I've never gotten severely ill for any length of time. Yeah. I usually bounce back pretty quick. Although when I was little, I used to like get sick so much that my pediatrician told my mom to just basically give me Grape Dimetapp every night. Seriously, like every night. And I wasn't the only kid. I talked about this in the wellness channel on the Slack, and somebody else had the same thing happen to them. So
God, I miss Grape Dimetapp. I really
do. It was great, wasn't it?
I mean, yes, it was. Okay, I know what you're doing there, but yes, to both senses of the pun you were making. Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think there's anything that says you can't take it now when you get sick.
You know, I've never looked for it. I just always assumed that it was discontinued once I stopped having to take it regularly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now the worst I ever got is one was. In like elementary school, I got rheumatic fever.
Oh God.
Yeah. So basically all of my joints just like hurt all the time.
Because your immune system just said, all right, attack self now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, it's one of those things where, you know, I got over it, but theoretically it could, come back.
Oh, is it like a shingles kind of thing where it's just waiting?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Oh,
which, I mean, I think with this one, though, I think it's fairly unlikely that it will. I don't think it's like shingles where it's like, yeah, this is just going to randomly fuck with you, like periodically.
Huh.
Well, I have scoliosis and spinal stenosis, so even if I don't get sick, I have like chronic issues. So, you know, we're all fucking old somehow. It's fine.
Yeah, no, we're all falling apart.
You need cyborg spine.
Right. Let's shuffle on. Let's shuffle on to like some news and things. Unless somebody has something really exciting to say that isn't related to like aches and pains and moans and groans and stuff.
No, I was at, like, this is barely even a conversation, but I would recommend people who like seeing embarrassing stuff from childhood go to my Instagram.
Oh yeah, I totally was watching your Instagram when you were posting all that stuff. I'm like, damn, Cole. I mean, like, I had maybe two Sonic comics.
No, I had a whole tote of them. Yeah,
you had a special designated box, no less.
Oh yeah, it's a box. It's in a box with all my Animorphs.
See, but that always makes me nervous because since we knew each other in childhood, that means that once you start posting embarrassing things in from childhood, there's a chance that I may show up.
I don't know. Like I've got a whole bunch of old pictures where you're in there. I wouldn't share a picture of somebody without their permission, of course. But no, this is mostly like we just had some kind of serious family stuff going on, and as a result, we had to clean out some closets to move some people around. And my mom was basically like, "Hey, I've kept your shit for long enough." Like when I was home this past weekend, or not past weekend, when I was home this last time, we just loaded my entire car up with all my old childhood stuff. Most of it is like just notes from classes in high school and college, but some of it is stuff like that. Like I've got a carrying case for a Game Gear. This carrying case is the size of a fucking briefcase. Like I need to find a way to do like a size comparison between something people might understand, but like it is
pop your DS in there or something.
Yeah. I'm talking about the exterior though. Like I want to put it next to like my backpack just to show how big it is compared to that backpack.
Well, backpacks are different sizes. Still put it next to something that's like
standard or reasonable. Okay, I'll
banana.
Of course. Provide a
and
banana
then go play Dark Souls with it.
Oh yeah,
the banana, that is.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, I need to call that guy to get those electrodes for my banana. Nope, I'm not gonna talk about getting electrodes for my banana. No, all my bananas are frozen for smoothies. I don't have any fresh bananas right now.
Oh
yeah, but I've got a new crop of pictures coming, and it's been fun. I know that somewhere in here there are gallon baggies full of toys. And I want to get those and go through them and at least save pictures if I don't keep them around. I've already loaded up like two contractor bags full of shit. Yeah.
My family moved around a lot when I was little, so like I don't have any relics of my childhood. Everything got fucking thrown away. So
I don't
know.
Like the house
like nothing, man.
the house where my parents live, like, they've been there for 23 years now. Like ever since I was in first grade. So, like, there was nothing aside from mom's occasional scorn that actually kept me from just, like, squirreling things away. Like, hey, here's a box full of Gundams. Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's some warheads.
Oh, man, those warheads are...
for still... later.
Yeah. Sorry. These warheads have grown hair. Oh, no. The fungus is adapted to super sourness. There's nothing that can stop us. Lysol does nothing. Yeah.
Boy. Well, that was entertaining. Thank you for that.
So, we've got the usual kind of show for you. The brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with...
The brief,
where we can talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Do you mind if I lead with mine? Because I think it's going to be kind of short, but I'm pretty jazzed about it as well. People know my affinity for the game Deadly Premonition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this this is not news?
Known fact, Paul Ross. Keep going.
Known fact, yes. Well, they just announced a Kickstarter for a board game version of Deadly Premonition.
Woo!
Yeah. So this appears to be a board game, kind of like San Juan is a board game. It's mostly card based, and you have like a little sheet that you put in front of you with slots for different suspects and things, with one row for innocent and one row for guilty. And then you have different modifier cards that you can put out and use to affect the field of play. But the goal is to find the killer. So it's a little bit like a clue game or something like that, or maybe like a werewolf kind of thing, where you have more like one player is the killer, and everybody has to work together to figure out who it is. And all the cards and all of the items and stuff are Deadly Premonition themed, and that is cool and something I'm really happy about. It's only like $30.
Cool.
That's pretty reasonable.
I like the Dark Souls game, which is like how much?
Oh, it was it was 118 at the exchange rate that it was. I got that today. I need to roll it up and play it. It hasn't gotten good reviews. We're probably not going to be doing anything on the show about it. It might come up like just like offhandedly, because I've got it. I want to play it, but I unboxed the thing. It's like it's in a big impressive box, and you know it looks complicated. And it comes with these little miniatures. However, the miniature for the Dancer of the Boreal Valley, kind of like one of the iconic bosses of Dark Souls 3, kind of like a real like lanky, tall, svelte, quick moving kind of thing. They saw fit to just attach her feet by these two small little posts, and guess what? It broke off. The dancer broke off of the post, so I have to get some fucking crazy glue or something to put her on there. And I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to get it right.
I have like epoxy and all kinds of adhesives and shit because you know I make things.
Right.
So like, if only you were here.
I can also go to the Meijer and get a $2 tube of epoxy.
Could you just imagine? I try to go onto the plane to go to Cincinnati, and I'm like, "What's this epoxy for?
It's for a dancer.
So the weirdest thing I've ever had with that is immediately when I was in San Francisco, I worked at a makerspace that included like a metal shop, you know, milling machines, things like that.
Yeah.
And I had some scraps that I had saved, you know, like projects and stuff that I was going to do. And when I didn't get time for them, you know, I took them back with me. But when I'm going to, like, check my baggage, one of my bags was overweight. And they're like, you know, they're like, oh, well, this is, like, you know, 3 pounds overweight. Is there something you can move? It's like, oh, yeah, let me just get these metal ingots.
Let me get these ingots out of here. Dunk, dunk, dunk.
Nice.
Yeah, no, so this is far more irritating than the tipless daddy, because this is just like, it's not functional if that thing isn't posted to the base, because like, you know, in order to do a melee attack on something in the rules of the game, you actually have to move your character's piece onto the base.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say that you had to, like, slam them into each other like you did.
Oh, it's like Pogs,
or whatever, like, when you were kids.
Yeah, it's like putting your Beyblades against each other. You just have to spin them around. Yeah.
I have to be honest, like, when I saw it, though, I was kind of tempted. Like, if they made a Bloodborne version, I might buy it simply to have the miniatures for the next time I do a pen and paper game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they have a Bloodborne card game, but that doesn't help you. And I understand the card game is pretty good, but
I feel like a Bloodborne card game, you could just go straight werewolf, right?
For some of it, the card game is specifically doing the chalice stuff.
Okay, I was gonna say, that was the original plan, but got to be boring because the answer was always everyone,
right? Oh. Yeah, but I'm excited about this game. I'm a little bit bummed out that I didn't back in time for the special edition, because you get a mug from the diner in the game, the A&G. And, you know, I could use a hole in my head before I need another mug, but, like, I want Deadly Premonition physical stuff. Like, I've got that deck of cards that that Riff from Video Game Hot Dog made for me. I didn't make it for me. He just had extra ones and gave me the extras. But yeah, any and all Deadly Premonition stuff I want in my life. And so I might as well get this and play it. It's like a 4-player game, too. So that's kind of cool.
On the bright side, it's hard to mess up cards printing those out. So probably more of that issue with that game.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Yeah, but that's my story. I want to hear Ben. So you've got a kind of big story, or at least one that seems pretty goofy. Go ahead and tell me what you got.
I got a twofer. There's two little news stories about two games from two big companies. I'll start off with the maybe less interesting one. BioWare is going to have a new IP. It was originally going to come out at the end. It was going to come out at the end of their 2017 fiscal year, which is going to be March 2018. I can't remember which way fiscal years work.
No, fiscal year ends after the first quarter of the next year.
Okay. So it was going to be the end of their 2017 fiscal year, which is March 2018, but it got delayed past that. So it's going to be sometime in either 2018 or sometime in 2019. So that's still a little bit under 2 years out, but
right.
It's going to be the first IP that they've introduced since the Dragon Age series, though.
That
so
can't be right.
That's what said article says. So.
Oh, jeez. Huh.
Right.
I guess the Sonic RPG on DS doesn't count.
They made a Sonic RPG?
Yeah, Sonic and the Chronicle of the Dark Brotherhood or something like that.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. You say Dark Brotherhood, right. And then I just think of Elder Scrolls. So yeah. That's a weird crossover.
I can never keep track. Are these the same guys that make either Mass Effect or Fallout?
Okay, so they make
they
make Mass Effect. They do not make Fallout. Fallout right now is with Bethesda. Yeah.
Well, I'll be confused with Bungie, who makes Halo.
See, I feel like I can never keep BioWare and Bethesda separate.
Yeah. Well, I'll be fucked. Yeah, this is the newest one. It's been since 2009 since they made an original IP.
Yeah, right?
Good God.
Just resting on their laurels.
I mean,
before that, was that Jade Empire?
Yeah, they did, like Baldur's Gate's huge. They did Jade Empire. I mean, Mass Effect.
Well,
was the
I mean,
big
in
one.
Terms of new IP, because I mean, Baldur's Gate's been around.
Yeah, and you could argue that Baldur's Gate is an adaptation of a you know, it's Dungeons and Dragons, right? So is Neverwinter Nights. Wow, so their only original IP might be Jade Empire, Mass Effect, and Dragon Age.
Yeah, huh.
You know.
So all right, the other news is Ubisoft, somebody possibly at the company released a screenshot for their upcoming game. People think it's going to be in ancient Egypt. The screenshot that was released was a person who's ferrying a boat in what looks to be like kind of a ancient Egypt type setting. There's kind of a weird details of it where there's objectives in the top left corner of the screen, and it says,
of course there are.
Kill the crocodile is the objective, which is either violence against animals, or it could be a name of a person, maybe. I don't
know.
Okay, yeah. But this was posted on Reddit and then immediately taken down. So that's also coming up at some point.
Yeah.
So did you see any radio towers?
I did not. It appeared to be kind of a clean blue sky and kind of low lying houses and trees.
It's not as dramatic to leap off the top of a pyramid is the thing. It's more of like it's either you're sliding gracefully or you're, you know, being pummeled to death on your way to the ground.
Maybe they'll introduce some sweet roll mechanics in this game.
Yeah, or maybe you could like snowboard down or something.
I'm just picturing
a snake sound effect instead of an eagle sound effect.
Yeah, I'm just picturing like a Homer falling down Springfield Gorge is what I've got in my head. Ben, you didn't mention the name of this rumored to be called Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah. It's a very memorable name. I don't know how I could have forgotten that. It's also supposed to be a prequel too. It's supposed to be ancient Egypt
Why? All by definitions, prequels.
I don't know, man. I checked out at three.
Yeah, only the like the framing story would have to be a prequel, right? Like everything else, it doesn't matter where you go to.
Yeah.
See, I'm really disappointed that I don't know. I've been rather disappointed recently with like their selection of locales.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that they like didn't go full on like main entry with India.
Yeah, India would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I still think World War One could be good.
Yeah, well, I've wanted like a St. Petersburg or Moscow for a while.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that'll probably be coming out this year. Like, this is just the first of a bunch of I'm not probably not the first, but this is a notable one of a bunch of like pre E3 leaks that we're gonna get.
Yeah.
So,
it just says kind of a similar vein. Did anyone catch the demo GIF or whatever of Risk of Rain 2?
No.
Apparently, it's like super early stage to the point where like it sounded like they were basically saying like, this is just us playing around. It might be nothing like this at all. But the big thing is it's like semi, you know, like 3D-ish animated, and it's a third-person shooter now. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jala, I want to hear your story about the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, so continuing my trend of puzzling over the moves going on in esports, the Boston Celtics are going to have a team in the NBA's first professional gaming league. They're going to be playing NBA 2K against lineups operated by other NBA teams. 17 of the NBA's 30 teams will be competing in the first season, including the Celtics, Cavaliers, and Warriors. The Celtics president, Rich Gotham, says, you see media consumption patterns changing with consumers. People, particularly young consumers, are spending less time consuming traditional TV and more time with a gaming console in front of them, and we want to make sure we're reaching that audience. Now, the reason why is because the expected revenue for esports this year is totaling... right now, estimates say about $700 million, up from $493 million last year.
Cut me off a piece of that money pie.
Yeah. And one of the Celtics forwards bought an esports team, and the Italian football team AS Roma also recently launched a team. So the NBA and Take-Two League Gaming League will be... starting in early 2018, the gamers on each team will actually be controlling customized characters within the game, and there's no info yet on who will be in the lineup or how the E-team will be branded. But, yeah, so that's a thing. Like, because like last week we were talking about, you know, the esports being included in the Asian Games, and now we've got the NBA deciding they're going to make their, you know... players into gamers now.
Yeah, well, I mean, wait a minute. So, okay. so the actual Celtics players
I think so. That's how it read to me in the article. I mean, you can take a look, but
see, I feel like the problem that's with how it that read though to me. Is my understanding is generally speaking, the teams on these games aren't balanced.
Well, they wouldn't because they're not balanced in real life.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there's an article like way back when when LeBron and several other really good at football or basketball, whatever sport.
I assume they're okay at football too.
Yeah, they're athletic.
Grading on a curve. They're very athletic. players.
No, yeah. it was talking about how there's an article that was saying basically like you know, whenever it was, when there's the stacked team in, what was it, Florida or somewhere?
Yeah, when LeBron and two other players whose names I can't remember moved to the Miami Heat. This is back in like 2011, 2012 or something like
that. Right. And the point of the article basically was that I guess in real life they didn't do that great, all things being considered. Or at least like they didn't just win everything. Mm-hmm. But was saying like the problem was in the game, since, you know, as the article described, like you can't quantify, you know, how you know, team cohesion, or how bad a team wants it, or how hard they worked in the off season.
Right.
The end result was that just like that team just steamrolled everyone else.
Like did much better than the Heat actually did.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see like if that happens with this, or I don't know.
Well, they also said that they were going to be making customized characters for all of the people playing. Yeah. So they're not going to be playing the default characters that everybody else is playing with in the regular game.
I think they should do it like the like Ben was talking about last week, Magic the Gathering, like draft rules, yo.
I think they should go Magic the Johnson draft rules.
So I sort of feel like this is going in the wrong direction, though. Like, I feel like the advantage of esports is, like, I don't want to see, like, basketball. Like, I want to see if you're in a venue where you are not constrained by the laws of, by the laws of physics, like... Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch basketball. Like, unless your first round draft pick is Tracer.
but then again, people think about it from the spectator's point of view. More people know the rules of basketball than know, I mean, even something like Rocket League or, you know, for fuck's sake, Dota, you know?
True. Like, but I feel like everyone, I feel like at the very least, you can go with the Michael Bay approach that everyone knows the rules of explosions and witty one-liners.
True. We'll say this is one of the weirder pivots in basketball history.
Well, it's boggling my mind. I was gonna pick something else entirely, but then when I saw this, I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, I have to talk about this. This is what.
All joking aside, I could actually see this being pretty fun.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, all right,
good on them.
Everybody wants a piece of the pie. That's what I can say about that.
Piece of the money pie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I have no idea what to make of this aside from somebody.
I don't know.
Somebody will either get very rich or lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
And David, round us out. What's happening in South Korea?
Sure. So apparently 2 weeks ago, one of the presidential candidates, and as I know, I'm going to apologize in advance if I screw up any of these names. So one of the presidential candidates in South Korea, Moon Jae-in, released a StarCraft, as in StarCraft Brood Wars, map that was popularizing his campaign. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had the original video that like all the article cite has been taken off of YouTube. I can't find it, so I don't know what it actually was, but you know, something with that happened. And now apparently his main opponent, who is Sim San Jung, created a ad that is modeled after and Overwatch's play of the game, which is kind of at the end of every match, the algorithm picks like what was the most pivotal like couple of seconds of play from one of the characters.
Yeah, it's usually Bastion. I'm sorry, I just said that. I said that joke phonetically. I'm sorry if it's not if it's not still true. Continue.
No, I completely support that. Bastion is still, anyways. So basically, the ad like is mostly her like debate. Starts with the whole like announcer announcing play of the game and like her kind of photoshopped into the South Korea setting because one of the game's characters is South Korean, so kind of from her background slash.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of it is basically her in a debate, and then as she's like making points and like doing it's all in Korean, so what I can only assume are sick burns. like the little like kill point counts are coming up, and like her ultimate gauge is charging. And so it's really, really well done. Like it look, very well put together. The only thing that really disappoints me is by the end her ultimate gauge completely charges, but they never do anything with it. There's she never like, I was expecting like hopping in a giant rabbit robot and blowing people up or something.
That's what the actual election itself is going to be all about.
Fair enough. I can see this.
They do a very good job of picking reaction shots from her opponents to make them look really dumbfounded.
And that's actually I don't know, the article on Polygon kind of calls this out. So I don't know if I would have noticed it without having it called out, but it's something where like I have no idea what the heck she's saying, but I can basically understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, so I have no idea who this person is or what her general steez is. Could this be? I mean, it couldn't be worse than Hillary saying Pokemon Go to the polls. Some effort put into it.
At the very least, like it's spot on in terms of its look and stuff like that.
Right.
And I don't know how much of this is stereotype, but like, I think I don't know if I actually went with this for an article at some point, but like when there's the day for women's marches a couple months back, like. There were some people in the South Korea one that had the logos for D.Va, who's the South Korean character in Overwatch, stuff like that. So like, I feel like this is something that appears to be kind of part of kind of the popular culture or something, fairly Broadway maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's pandering, but if it's meant to get young people out to vote, then okay, yeah, thumbs up. Yeah. It's hard to have too much of an opinion about it aside from just like it is hilarious to apply Overwatch's motion graphics to something as let's say staid. I'm not going to say boring because I don't know the content of what they're saying, but something as staid as what appears to be like C-SPAN shots of these South Korean politicians debating.
the other thing I was thinking is like technically when the points are popping up during her making points, that's like the indicator for achieving a kill. Like, can you imagine how that would go over in American politics?
Oh, it'd be rough. Yeah.
Unrelated to the actual content of it, like it also has the super epic music too, which is pretty great.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm watching it without without sound.
I feel like it's pretty memeable. Like I feel like this, you could do this in a lot of platforms besides politics.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it also, you also could do a pretty sick edit of this if there is some equivalent of, like the Trump trolls over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Somebody, you just wait, David. Somebody is going to Photoshop her into a mech. You just wait.
I can live with this. Did I mention last week the whole thing with Trump is the first U.S. president to star in his own video game?
Yes, I think. Yeah, well, you told me that. I don't know if you said it on air.
No, it was said on air. He had that. He had the Weird Little Tycoon game. And also he is the first president to be a WWE Hall of Famer. And also the first president to star in a softcore porn. So not star, but to be featured in a softcore porn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How did JFK not get that? That seems like that would have been his MO.
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of those film strips up in a vault on the moon. I think that's why he was so anxious to get there.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Let's see. Jala, you posted this one, and Greg suggested it. What did we ask the nice people?
We asked, what's the most you've paid for a game, and was it with the intention of playing it or just for collection purposes?
Yeah, and I'm going to get us started here with John, who says, I paid $75 for Valkyrie Profile, the discs only, because Cat Bailey always talks about it in superlative terms, and that is the only good way, to play it. Edit to add, I remember that I paid $100 for Wasteland 2's Kickstarter. It was my first time backing, and I got caught up in the hype. I should probably play it someday, looks longingly at Steam Library.
Wow, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah,
I will say though that if I back something on Kickstarter, I actually do end up playing it, even if it's just for like a short time. I'll fiddle around with it and then, you know, move on, which is weird. Like, you would think if I'm buying stuff on Steam, yeah, I'd definitely play whatever I play on Steam. No, it's like the Kickstarter stuff that makes me wait, that, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know, so
yep. Yeah, $75 for a classic game, that's not rare. I would yeah, I've got a story similar to that. Let's see. David, what does Phil say?
Phil says, I don't know if it was the most, but I did pay like $90 for Dead Rising 2's Collector's Edition. To be fair, it came with some cool stuff and entered you into a drawing to win a giant zombie statue. Unfortunately, I didn't win that.
Meanwhile, like Resident Evil 7, to buy it with all the DLC and shit is like $90 on Steam. Fuck you, Resident Evil 7. That's why I'm not playing you.
It's what,
all right,
it's what Capcom do. It's what Capcom do.
I know, that makes me so mad. Don't get me on a Capcom rant. Let's keep going.
Yeah. And yeah, for a chance to win, huh? Yeah.
To be fair, if you actually bought all the DLC for like Saints Row, I'd shudder to think how much that would be.
Well, there was also that thing, like, around the time Watch Dogs came out, there was that huge grid of all of the exclusive kind of, you know, like, small content, you know, either, like mission packs or costumes or cars or things that were spread across all the retailers. Like, if you wanted to play, like, Watch Dogs, like, complete with everything that you could possibly get, you would need to spend $1,500 on the game.
Yeah. Luckily, you don't.
Yep. Luckily, right. you can skip that one if you want.
What I've heard about those is that like the train simulator games are really bad about that. Like all of the different trains and stuff for those are just ridiculously, egregiously priced.
Oh yeah, because so, they have an enthusiastic market.
Yeah, yeah. I feel more tolerant of that though, just because. I mean, I don't know how expensive they are. Maybe that's a problem. But with the, like, just churning out DLC, that sort of seems like the point in, like, a simulator game like that. You know, it doesn't seem too different than, like, real model trains.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Not my rodeo.
Yeah. Ben, what does Greg say?
Greg says, to this day, the most I've ever spent for a game was $70 I plucked down for Final Fantasy II, really Final Fantasy IV, along with the $180 for my SNES in Christmas of 1991 when I was 15. First major purchase done with my own money. I was aghast with paying that much for a game, but it was worth every penny. made a profit on it also when I sold it during grad school circa 2000. So a good investment as well as a great game. Nice.
Well, yeah, 180. Okay, yeah. So he got Final Fantasy IV, then sold it at a profit. I think I still have mine,
see,
actually.
Like,
it has a sticker on it.
I kind of want to adjust all of these for inflation and see what happens.
Yeah, right.
Wow, a lot of people never came back after that mean thing we did.
Yeah.
Jala, what does Evan say?
Evan says, I played WoW for years, so probably that. More recently, though, I may have spent $150 on DBZ Dokkan Battle. Got to get those rare Gokus somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Mai in the chat and I think a couple of other people actually calculated out their subscription fees for some of their MMOs.
Oh,
and they were like,
God.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thousands of dollars. Yeah.
That yeah, that doesn't feel like it counts though, is the thing. Like, I know it does, but also it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that would be a very easy way to I think to win by fiat or something like that. Yeah. Let's see. David writes, assuming MMO subscription fees don't count, however much the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy edition was. As a huge Fallout fan, I couldn't pass it up. It gets bonus points for the fact that my kid loves it. The big case is now her treasure chest, and the Pip-Boy is her movie camera. Everyone wins. That
That's
is
awesome.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got a cute little girl too. Yeah. So yeah, that's like awesome.
Yeah, I understand if you don't want to share pictures of your kid, but I would like to see a picture of a little girl with a Pip-Boy on. That seems like it'd be very fun.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Yeah, I think that was like what, $200 or something like that. I don't know.
Something.
Yeah. David, what does Eric say?
Eric says, I don't want to have a nervous breakdown, so I will say, I know it's TF2, but I can't bring myself to look. It's easily at least $200.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
I didn't realize there was any way to spend money more than the initial purchase on TF2. Like, what's... Because I got out of it. I was horrible at it, like really, really bad. So I stopped playing fairly quickly. So
they added like character customizations and also like boxes you could buy for chances to get items for your dudes and things.
Okay.
So like it's a free to play kind of thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Ben, what does Brian say?
Brian says, "Do card games count? Because if so, I've easily spent somewhere in the tens of thousands of dollars on Magic over the years." Otherwise, I think I paid $150 for a copy of Earthbound.
Yeah. For just the game, that is that is the winner right now, I think, when you're not looking at like a
collector's box or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, or a subscription or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earthbound will do it every time. $150 is actually kind of reasonable for that. Assuming it's, you know, not if you got an inbox copy of Earthbound for $150 with all the stuff with it, $100 like that is a ridiculously low price. Yeah. Jala, what does Sam say?
Sam says, not counting that I later bought both releases on PC, I paid $120 for the PS3 special edition of Dark Souls 2 with the 12-inch Farum Knight statue. Worth it.
Was that $120?
Apparently,
because I've got the Farum Knight statue, but I don't know that I paid maybe I did. Maybe I was led that into it. Worth it.
Are you sure you bought it? Are you sure you didn't like pass out and then steal it?
No, I've got it. I can't remember the series of events that led to me getting it. Like it's fine. It's a really cool statue.
You didn't steal it?
I'm positive I didn't steal it.
All right.
But you know, the thing is I seem to recall a conversation on this podcast where you were like, and then I have these damn figures from these special editions that just sit there and collect dust on my damn shelf. And I was bitching about because I've got the what do you call it? The dragon Alduin the World Eater from Skyrim.
Yeah,
I was given that. I didn't buy the collector's edition of that. But anyway, I was given that, and that's sitting on the shelf, and it's a very large figure.
Because
it's got like, rocks and stuff. It's really cool looking, but yeah.
I would like to say, I learned my lesson and I stopped buying special edition stuff after that. But I bought the special edition of Dark Souls 3, and I'm actually playing with the Artorias sword right now. That is my current non noise making fidget thing, and has been for years. But like, I want to get that Estus flask as well, and it's kind of a shitty thing, but it looks okay from a distance. But yeah, I'm done with statues.
See, the one piece of game swag that I'm probably gonna get someday is that badass poster someone made that was like the kind of vertical cross section of Dark Souls 1.
Oh yeah, that is good. I've got that.
Yeah.
I think posters. I don't know. I make a distinction for like art that is based on a thing. Because I've got a couple of Dark Souls things hung up on my wall. I guess I'm a hypocrite. I don't know.
Well, I'm a hypocrite because I was bitching about Alduin the World Eater, but then I've got like Final Fantasy X. I think I have almost all the figures. I think I'm only missing Yuna.
Hmm.
So
wait, weren't you
like
just
the artifacts figures? I was complaining about Alduin the World Eater. I mean, he's not like a character that I know and love. He's a fucking dragon from Skyrim.
The singing and the craziness?
That's Final Fantasy X 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Justin writes, I bought a GameCube in 2005 solely to play The Wind Waker. I'd already beaten it on a friend's machine, and they only played my copy for a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought my Sega Saturn because that's what Lunar's remakes were coming out on in Japan, and then that's what Working Designs was originally going to release it on, and then they didn't, and then because the Saturn was tanking in the US, so they brought it out on the PlayStation. So yeah, I did buy a PlayStation. So technically I bought a Saturn and a PlayStation before I got
for
the
that
game.
One game. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. David, what does Jaden say?
Jaden says $150 for the Skyrim Collector's Edition is the most I've paid for a game itself. Counting content and game, however, I'm ashamed to say I've spent roughly $600 on Team Fortress 2 cosmetics and weapons, back when it was my go-to multiplayer shooter.
Yeah. That's a thing that happens, dude. I mean, yeah. That's how they get you.
look up at Eric's response. I mean, it makes total sense. Yeah. Ben, what does Andrew say?
Andrew says, since I don't have any recent gen systems, I've been saved from the current high prices. I only buy games now during Steam sales. As a kid, I remember saving up for Phantasy Star 3 for the Genesis. It wasn't as famously expensive as 4, but still in the $60 to $70 range in 1991. That's around $110 today. A lot of people were buying stuff in 1991, by the way. the game pales next to others in the series, but I enjoy it and I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's why I never played Phantasy Star when I was little, is because it was like always fucking expensive. And I was just like, damn it, I can buy this game or I can buy like two other games. You know?
I think even when I got my copy, like I got my copy of Super Mario RPG super late. Like it must have been sometime in like 98 or 99 or something like that. Like I got it from a Play It Again Games and it was still like $70. Or something like that. Like it only got like slightly cheaper before it got super rare and then bounced up higher as a result. Yeah. That was you, Ben, right? Doing Andrews? Okay. Jala, what does Roop say?
Roop says, kids, don't get into board games. Most I've paid is 110 euro, which is 120 US, for Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition, just the base game. But I also have Elder Sign, 60 euro, plus 5 expansions, 23 euro per piece, and more coming.
Hmm. I've at least heard good things about Elder Sign. See, the thing is, like, you only feel bad looking at that number and looking at it in hindsight. But, like, if it has made you happy, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what price
and also...
happiness?
I feel like with board games, you at least get hipster cred for having them, right?
Yeah, and you also have a cool thing on your shelf. Like, it is not just a box that has a small slip of, you know, epilepsy warnings and then a disc.
And then, like, a figure.
Right. And then a figure of a dragon. Wait, weren't you just saying you were really upset about that?
Right.
Yeah. Jaris or Jaris, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, says, "Oh man, definitely the BioShock 2 Collector's Edition. The worst part of it is that I never even ended up playing the game or using any of the stuff inside, which was admittedly pretty cool. I keep it around as a reminder not to buy into hype before games come out." But like, BioShock 2 is okay. I think you might be pleasantly surprised. I don't know what came with the collector's edition. I don't know if it was a new daddy or not. David, what does Russell say?
Russell says, "I memorized my dad's credit card number and bought Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo
yes!
for $20, but it cost my immortal soul."
Yeah, I had a little back and forth with him. I was like, "That's a fucking awesome game." By the way, I still play that game. It's a good game.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I regret nothing." And I asked if his dad noticed, and he said that his dad never mentioned it, but he never did anything like that again. So
Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, good on you, on both of you for like, you know."
But hey,
your respective responses.
You know, you don't know you have a limit until you test it, right? So you did, you know, at the very least you the cost of you figuring out, "Hey, stealing doesn't feel good," was $20.
Yeah.
So yeah. Ben, what does Dan say?
Dan says, "Xenoblade Chronicles Wii, one of my favorite JRPGs of all time and worth every penny. Also, the original Xenogears on PS1 was like $70, which was a lot at the time, but it had a cool anime cutscenes and the best soundtrack ever."
Is that the one that was like 90% cutscenes that had the psychopathic robot lady?
You're thinking of Xenosaga, which was the kind of spiritual successor / prequel to Xenogears. Yeah, and then Xenoblade, I don't know if it has anything to do with the other Xeno games. Sorry, forgive me if I'm incorrect. But that was also like released in a really limited run as like one of these, like, so like the Wii got these JRPGs, Pandora's Tower, Xenoblade, and also like The Last Story or something like that, and like all of them were just released at GameStop. I think they made three of them, and they immediately, like, the price just fucking skyrocketed. And Xenoblade Chronicles was like going for $300 at one point, I think.
To be fair, like, I think we've now determined that Nintendo has a modus operandi.
I don't think that Nintendo published those, though.
I gotta say, though, Dan didn't tell us how much he paid for Xenoblade Chronicles.
I think it might be ashamed.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. Yeah. He knows in his heart.
Yeah. Jala, what does Griffin say?
Griffin says, I can't imagine the amount I've spent buying Final Fantasy VII over and over again each time it's re-released.
Probably not as much as I've spent buying Final Fantasy IV over and over again.
That's a thing.
Yeah. And then I'll round us out here with Sid, who says, "I traded in some games to knock the price off of an $80 copy of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on the PS2. So I only paid $50 for what was a somewhat rare game. Then the PS3 and Xbox 360 ports got announced, and I didn't even like the game much. So I traded it in for $12.
To be fair, like, That's only $38 net.
Sure, yeah.
Loss, yeah.
Yeah, at a loss, sure. But also, you would have to factor in the value of those other games that you traded in as well. And then also anything you might have traded in to get those.
You know, I did that same thing with Shining Force Neo or some shit like that. I think it was Shining Force Neo. That was shit. And I traded in some other crap and to knock the price down a little bit on that game, and then I bought that game, and then I was very disappointed by it. And then I sold that back, and I don't remember how much I got for it. Probably like 2 cents.
Yeah,
but it's fine.
I understand that it can make a big difference for a lot of people. I don't trade it. I don't trade things in specifically because of these kinds of regrets.
I can't remember if I traded in for Borderlands 2, or I think I traded Borderlands 2 in.
Mm,
But that's fine. I did not like that game.
Yeah. For me, and that's everybody who got in by the time we recorded. For me, it would have to be a Rock Band 3, I think. Or so, like, if you look at like Rock Band in general across all of it, paying $200 for the full set, when Rock Band 1 came out, and then I bought another copy of Rock Band 1 because the disc broke. In the way that Xbox 360 games sometimes did, where there was a crack that worked out from the center hole. So add another 60 onto that. I had to replace the guitar, add another 80 onto that. I didn't have to, but when the Pro Instruments came out, I bought a whole new drum set for $130 because that came with the cymbals and stuff. And then when the Mustang guitar came out, the one with all the buttons for the frets, that was $150. So we're looking at upwards of like $600 once you factor in all the games. Oh, and then also the DLC.
Yeah, I was going to say the DLCs. Yeah.
I've probably put at least $1,000 into Rock Band DLC.
So wow. At what point in that process did you learn to play guitar? Because I know it was in a similar time period.
No, I learned to play guitar shortly after I played the first Guitar Hero. Like, I had my guitar and I was learning how to play it 2 years before Rock Band came out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I spent far more that guitar that I got. I think I paid $100 for the guitar and the amp. And I didn't spend any more on instruments until this year when I got a new guitar and a bass.
Spend more on peripherals than the actual instruments.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, so it would definitely have to be Rock Band. Like, between all of those, like, I'm probably pushing $1,500. Yeah. I shouldn't be proud of that, but I kind of do feel a little proud of that.
You get more play out of it than most people do, so
yeah I had a really good time with it. David,
got a lot of play
out. Well, also I have to give you kudos for not being sad about it, because there are other people who are like, I don't want to have a nervous breakdown, and I, you know,
no
so I'm like, glad. Good
Yeah, I've bought plenty of games that I just only played a little bit or didn't like. I've spent far more than $1,500 on games that have given me less joy in aggregate. David, how about you? What's the most you've dropped for a game?
Sure. So I think this isn't the most in like actual money, but I think kind of like equivalent of, you know, what was a lot of money at the time was probably Phantasy Star Online.
Okay.
Because I bought the game. I also somehow tracked down the router thing for the GameCube.
Yeah.
And I, you know, paid for the online subscription for a couple months. So yeah, that was probably, and that would have been like something like freshman or sophomore year of high school. So like time, that was a lot of investment.
Yeah.
If nothing else in terms of effort.
Right.
If I would say maybe in terms of overall amount for games, probably. I mean, I guess I bought a Wii U, and the only game I ever actually ended up getting for it was Splatoon.
Oh, really? I didn't even realize you had a Wii U.
Yeah. So I assumed that Nintendo was going to make like other decent games, and they did not. So yeah. I would have to give a shout out, if we're going just games in general, to I have a lot of source books for a third edition of D&D.
Oh yeah. That those also add up, that $35 a piece.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ben, how about you?
I was gonna throw in and say, Dave, that means that you can play Breath of the Wild on the Wii U. But
you could do that.
Yeah.
It's out on Wii U.
Huh.
For the stuff that I spent money on, I think if you factor in card games, Magic might be up there. It hasn't. I spent like $160 to buy two boxes, but then I've been playing with coworkers and like selling them to them, so that's been coming down in price.
Yeah, it's the net cost is not crazy.
Yeah, and Rocket League, I don't think I've cracked like $60 on that game with the DLC, and I've like slowed down with that. So
you have to have bought like a collector's edition of a game at some point, right?
So I've bought the game for me, and I've bought it, I think, for two other people to get them to play it with me.
Okay.
So I guess if you factor that in, it's probably over $60. So that okay. might be the highest video game. But then if you factor in board games, I think there's one board game that I got called Cthulhu Wars, and that's probably the most expensive game I've ever bought. But
yeah. Huh. And Jala, round us out if you haven't already given your response.
Yeah. I paid about, okay, for like just a single game by itself, I paid about $100 back in the day for Shining Force 3 Premium Disc, which was only obtainable in Japan if you bought all three parts of that game and mailed the UPCs to Camelot, which was the publisher.
Okay.
And it was with the intention of playing the game. There are, like, the game itself, like the extra premium disc, has CG cutscenes, interviews, history of the entire Shining Force series, character viewer, movie viewer, art gallery, audio gallery, 8 special battles from special moments, like pivotal moments in the series, such as the Kraken battle from Shining Force 2 or the fight against Dark Dragon from the first game. And you can use any of the characters that you built up during your playthrough of the Shining Force 3 game. You can also create a backup data slot for scenario 3, which is, you know, like the third disc of the game, mm-hmm. that lets you completely customize the file. It asks you questions on the synchronicity issues, like right. did Spirited live or whatever, and you can pick the responses to completely customize that data.
It sounds like you're trying to justify a very high price point.
Like, this is it's not okay by comparison to like everything else everybody's saying. This is actually rather inexpensive, and it's actually cheaper now the last time I looked, but I'm explaining because it's a fucking cool disc, and I had never seen all these different features provided in like a bonus random thing that you go mail off for, you know, to the publisher. Like, that's pretty crazy. So Shining Force 3 is one of my favorite games, so mm-hmm.
yeah,
that's another reason why I'm explaining. If we're just going by like just dollars put in over time, Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 would be the thing, of course, because yeah. you know, every DLC, like I got the special edition DLC for each one of the installments that came out on the original game, and you know, I bought some random stuff for, you know, Guild Wars 2, so yeah. you know, but it doesn't have a subscription fee, so it's not like as much as other MMOs, but
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, for a single specific game that's just the game, it's actually like for the premium disc that has all these crazy features on it.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting. Two things that we didn't hear that I was wondering if we would have anyone was no one really went in for, like, I know some people will go hardcore on like import games.
By the way, speaking of import games, I guess if you include the fact that every, like, the Lunar games and Shining Force 3, like Shining Force 3, the first disc was released in America, but the others were not, so I have them imported, but I also have an import version of the first scenario that was released in America just because I wanted to hear the Japanese voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have import versions of the Lunar games as well, even though I have them in English, so... Because Akira Shida is the voice of the main character, Alex, and he also plays Zelos in the Slayers anime, which was, like, one of my favorite anime series.
Hmm.
So, and a very cool character in that series. So,
yeah.
For me, I was like, no, I totally have to hear him, you know, playing this main character guy, because the main character of Lunar is very different from his character in Slayers. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so we now have that. The other thing I was wondering if we'd have anyone is if there's anyone who, like, lost a, like, $5,000 ship or something on Eve.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I don't think there's a huge Eve contingent in our listener base. I just haven't heard anybody really, like, bring it up or mention it.
See, I thought it was a rule that if you were on something awful, you were obligated to play Eve.
No.
They bundle the accounts together.
Yeah. No, thank God not. Yeah, well, thank you everybody for writing in. This was a lot of fun. Strangely, I have no shame at admitting I spent that much money on Rock Band. But If you want to participate in these in the future, go on over to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Tuesday afternoons.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past week or so since all of us were here last time. Fight Club determines. I'll just David, I want to hear what you've been playing.
Sure. So a couple of things. First off, I'm kind of pissed. I installed earlier today Saints Row 4 and whatever we're up to. Yeah, 4. And unfortunately, Steam decided not to do cloud saves, so I didn't actually get to play it. But that will be coming attractions. Jolly, I actually started playing Foul Play, which is a co-op. It's a co-op beat-em-up, very, very similar in terms of its gameplay to like Castle Crashers, if you've played that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kind of its big conceit is that it's the sort of frame story or whatever is that it's a play, hence the name Foul Play. And you know, like, what is it, Paper Mario sort of does this, but this kind of takes it a step further in that the combo meter is you know, all about you know, fan, you know, how much the spectators like your performance, and like fans will like randomly crawl up on stage and start like cheering for you or yelling at the bad guys and things like that.
Sounds like a similar conceit to what you would see in Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's that makes it a lot more fun, you know, a lot more notable. It also, your characters are very, very British.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better talk about Baron Dashforth and Scampwick.
Yes.
Scampwick.
Dashforth has a monocle and a top hat.
And right. A mustache.
And a mustache. And Scampwick, Mr. Scampwick, it has a broom, and he's kind of like, in like, what kind of a hat is he wearing?
Like a flat cap type thing, is it?
Yeah, like, you know, like a paperboy hat or something. But anyway, and then, you know, he's got like the scarf on, so he's kind of like a broom ninja. I don't know.
Yeah, he is basically like
if a chimney sweeper Cockney, from Mary Poppins.
if you took Cockney and multi-classed them with Cockney, you basically get that character.
Yeah, you get the old double Cockney.
Yeah, I think my favorite line is like when you get to the first boss fight. There's exchanges, you know, Mr. Scampwick, do you remember what I told you about fighting larger enemies? What? Yes, kick them square in the giblies. Right then, carry on.
Yeah,
like the studio giblies.
All of the dialogue. So huh. Yeah, it's pretty good. They do a lot with the scene changes are really well animated in terms of like actually seeing the stagehands switch mm-hmm. things around, or like after you beat someone, instead of doing the like double dragon style thing where they'll just sort of like flash and disappear, they'll like lie there for a while and then just like crawl off stage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a lot of fun. We didn't get very far. Time was kind of limited. It's also extremely not keyboard friendly.
Yeah, you don't have a controller.
Yeah, so none of the button prompts are translated at all. So
so you have to remember what was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly like Castle Crashers, because they only have the controller options. Like, you
know. That's true.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the main new thing. Not surprisingly, I've continued on with Warframe.
Yeah. No, this is your Rocket League right now.
Yes. It is. There's actually an event this week. So basically the way they do new content launches is putting in a limited time mission that usually highlights one of the player factions.
Okay.
So kind of fills in some backstory. In this case, basically one of the main enemies is like the Corpus, who is basically like a mega corporation. And there's a player faction that's kind of an offshoot from them. And basically the bad guys have developed a new super robot that learns from every defeat. So you have to kill a crap ton of them and hack their CPUs so they can't learn from the defeat or whatever.
Okay.
So I don't know, like overall, it, I don't know, it's kind of fun. And they, along with that, they released a lot of new mods that were weapon specific that basically make certain weapons behave differently. So for example, one of them basically made one of the knuckle duster weapons, if you kill a enemy with a slam attack, they explode and deal damage to everyone around them.
Oh shit. Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Probably the highlight of it is for the promo video they did, like kind of announce it. Basically the mission briefing. It's a newscast from the Corpus, basically advertising a new investment opportunity, and it contains the line growth, profit, profit.
Okay.
Instantly became a meme.
I mean, it was absolutely designed to do that.
Oh yeah, of course. But it's also kind of funny because I think every character in the game except for one is voiced by one of the staff at Devolver Digital, right?
I have no idea. I couldn't.
Yeah, but yeah. So that's also kind of funny, just knowing that like all of the crazy dialogue you hear in the game is all one of the programmers or designers or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's pretty fun. So I do enjoy the other meme that sprung up that I really enjoy is one of the kind of big issues with the game is you can get like companions that are cats and dogs.
Okay.
But the other option is basically a hovering robot companion, which is a lot less boring and not really that useful in a fight, but it has the ability to an ability called vacuum that basically will collect all of the item drops within a like 30 meter radius.
Okay.
And
so you don't have to just run around and scoop it up.
Right. Right. And yeah. So that's so useful that pretty much no one uses anything else.
Okay.
So pretty much like every third every third day on the like Reddit or whatever, there'll be someone will post a suggestion, that they just add the vacuum ability to all, the actual pets. Inevitably, someone will come back and troll them with, how the heck does a, dog or a cat have a vacuum? And inevitably, the response is the video of the cat riding the Roomba.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I know. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy there's a lot of people that ship the various Warframes, which is hilarious because they're abstract characters.
Right. They're robots that are tumors on the inside.
Right, exactly. But yeah. But it's hilarious seeing like the community has kind of developed to the point where certain personalities have come to be subscribed, you know what I mean, to the various Warframes, despite
right.
the fact that there's no like actual basis for any of it in the game.
Right, right. Huh. Yeah. Cool. Is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, that's all I've been playing. So next week, exploits in Saints Row, but...
Yeah, as of right now. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Jala, I want to hear about you.
Sure. Well, David already mentioned Foul Play. That was my only co-op game. I was doing lots of belly dancing, but I did get a couple of games in. I played a little bit more of Road Not Taken. I muddled around in year six some more, and there was just so much shit on the screen and in the way and docking my energy that I saved a couple of the kids out of six were total that I was supposed to try to save.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the mayor who blocks the entrance back to the town, and I said I was done just to see what would happen. And it turns out you can just be like, nope, I'm done, and then just like deuce out and leave all the kids to die in the forest. So, yeah, the penalty is that all the other kids died. So when I shared some coins with the chick I'm macking on in town, the message said that the two of us shared the money with the mothers of the dead children. I was like, okay.
Truly, nothing is more romantic.
Right, right. I have a feeling that part of the point of the game is for you to not be able to save all of them at some juncture or another. Maybe not where I got curious and decided to see if the mayor would let me leave. I thought I was going to be able to, like, come back and then, like, you know, maybe try again after, you know, regenning a little bit of my energy or something. But no. When you leave, you move on to year seven. You don't get any time to, you know, any second chance to go back.
Wait, so basically you search for these kids for a grand total of one day out of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And most of the reviews I've seen peg this as a game that's like about grieving and loss and stuff, so I'm pretty sure it's gonna get more depressing from here, kind of like Shelter, because when I played that and like slowly but surely all of your youngins, you know, you're like a badger or whatever.
Oh,
the fuck.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of your youngins get stolen, and eventually all of them die. It kind of feels like it's probably going to take that road. So
the
anyway, I haven't...
Tokyo Jungle.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I will keep playing it, but now that I know that I can, like, pass through without finishing all, you know, like, getting all the kids, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to impact how I play. We'll see. But anyway, so the last thing I played through a little game called Framed. It's a simple iOS puzzle game that's won a bunch of awards.
This is a good
and
game.
In fact, it was Hideo Kojima's Game of the Year for 2014. I didn't realize it was that fucking old, but like when I'm looking around in the App Store, I'm just kind of like browsing around. I'm like, hey, that looks interesting. So
yeah, yeah.
I didn't know how old it was. Anyway, he said... high sense of gameplay, graphic, and sound. My best game in this year, without any doubt.
Yeah,
so
it's really good.
Yeah, so basically, it's a noir espionage story where your objective is to keep the spy alive and dodge cops and rival spies and whatever. There is a change of characters at a couple of points, and it doesn't end the way that I was expecting it to end. Anyway, so the design is simple, clean cut. It looks like a comic. With all the figures in black silhouette with white accent details, such as like a flower on the female character's hat. And one of the two main male characters has a mustache, that kind of thing. But it has super smooth animation. It has lazy, jazzy kind of music that fits the theme and the game elements and stuff. But the mechanics, though, are really, really basic. You rearrange panels of the comic, of a motion comic, to alter the outcome. Like, you know, it starts off and you see what happens, and then you have to swap panels around to, you know, allow the character to make progress through the page and flip to the next one.
Yeah. So the panels might be like, oh, somebody rounds a corner. Somebody fires a gun. Somebody opens a door. And like in one of those configurations, it ends with your character dying. And the other one, it ends in it like a near miss that gets you through. So you have to like make sure you have to make sure that like the gun fires after the character rounds a corner.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. And you can basically keep going back and you can sit on the same page and like try every combination humanly possible. it is fine. Like, you don't have, like, a penalty for dying. You just have to watch the scene and swap everything around again.
What's the most number of pains that they show on a single screen?
I don't have a count on that.
You're usually dealing with, like, 4 or 6 of them.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. There are sometimes more than that, but usually not. It's not that cluttered. Basically, it's just swapping around for the first 2/3 of the game. And then in the very last third chunk of the game, you can suddenly reuse panels and, in fact, have to reuse them in order to clear portions of the story. Like, the character will go past from one panel to the next, and then you have to really quick move one of the panels over so that way, you know, the character progresses into that same panel again and, you know, continues the pathway to, you know, the ending of that page. Mm-hmm. And then in pretty short order after they introduced this, which I thought was really cool, and I'm like, why didn't they bring that in sooner? Because 2/3 of the game passed before you gave me a new verb, you know. Then right after that, like, I want to say it's a couple of pages after that, suddenly you're allowed to turn panels to create new pathways, like, mm-hmm. You know, turning a grate to a different portion, you know, of the screen, or, you know, changing the way the roads line up so that way the character runs to a different, you know, through a different path and all of that. But these are so late into the game that the bulk of it is really, really, like, simple and kind of, like, it's all right. I mean, if they had introduced those other mechanics earlier and made it more complex faster than what they did, I would have been a little bit more happy with it. I mean, it's a short game, but it still felt like it was way too late to suddenly throw some new verbs in there and then throw them in like, bam, bam. Like, they got these really great ideas, but they didn't want to go back and retool the stuff they already did.
Yeah.
You know, is what it seems like to me. Yes.
I was going to say, or like those particular puzzles, they only had a certain number of ideas for them, or they were incredibly intense to kind of put together. So confining them to the later chapters was a way to, like, escalate without just having it end with the similar thing that you've done the whole time through.
Yeah, it just seems kind of, it doesn't flow very well for me in that way. But overall, it's vaguely similar in some ways to Ghost Trick, but it's way, way, way simpler without the larger narrative or the characterization or any of that stuff.
Yeah, there's no, like, novelization portion to it.
No, like, there's no talking, there's none of that. There's just the characters moving around on the screen, and you gather what's happening by what's going on in the panels, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was interesting. I'm probably not going to play it again, but I mean, like, just as something, you know, short and easy to whiz through, and as kind of like a compare and contrast with something like Ghost Trick, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I would recommend people play it. Even if Jala sounds reserved. It's like a really good experience for a mobile game. Like, it is almost exactly what I want.
Yeah, but it's $5.
What?
It's $5.
Oh, well, yeah, Ben's on Android.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, too. It's also on Android.
Yeah, which is also information. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. $3 is more acceptable. If you have an Android, you can play it.
Yeah.
If you're on iOS, I might think about it.
It also goes on sale very frequently. Like, it's almost always in, like, the batch of, like, oh, this amazing game just got a price drop. Keep an eye out.
Yeah, watch for that. Yeah. I mean, it's not that it's bad, but it's just, like, it's real simple, and then suddenly it gets complex and adds the thing is that I like the complexity that gets thrown in when you have to reuse panels, and then when you have the ability to turn panels, and I was really waiting for the time when you could rotate panels and reuse panels at the same time. That would have been badass. Yeah. But, you know, like, where they start layering on top of, you know, like, the stuff that they've already given you the basic verbs for, but they didn't ever do that. So that's where I'm like, I would have liked it better if, like, it had more time to, like, flesh itself out. You know, like, if it was longer, then I wouldn't be so upset about the first part being basic, because I would have these new verbs for a longer portion of the game or something. But
yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's a cool little thing. If it's on sale, totally buy it. If it's on Android, that's cool. I don't know if I'd pay $5 offhand for it, but you know, it's cool.
Cool. And is that all for you, Jala?
That is all I played because I was busy dancing with my belly.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
All right. I got a lot of old stuff and one new thing.
Okay.
So Rocket League, keep playing it. Still good. I kept playing a CharacterUnknown's Battlegrounds, so I played that a few more times. Only have like maybe two or three games under my belt in the past week, though, so not too much. I started playing a game online called Magic Duels, which is like the basically like the Hearthstone version of Magic, where they have an online thing of it. It's free to play, but you can like grind out stuff to open up new cards and stuff. So it's similar to like Hearthstone. I was just curious to see what it was like. Kind of wanted to try and you can kind of play with different decks, and they kind of give you custom made decks, so you can kind of see different cards that you might not have gotten in the game proper.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting to play. I don't know if I'm going to play this sort of thing long term. It's made by a third party company, so it's like, it's a pretty low quality sort of game, but it's free. So,
oh,
you know,
gross. And they're modeling the table in 3D.
Yeah.
No,
it's pretty clunky. But it's basically, Magic is not designed to be a computer game, or like one of the issues with it is they have a thing where they'll have like a timer that you can start and stop if you want to either assess what's going on, or if you want to play like something in response to something that somebody else is doing.
Okay.
So it kind of shows like the limitations of like, it's not like a translatable game, where I haven't played Hearthstone yet, but from what I've heard is like that game's designed around when it's not your turn, you don't have to do anything. You're just waiting for the other person to take their turn. And conversely, when it's your turn, you're basically choosing who to attack, but there's not like a back and forth or anything like that.
Right.
So
right. There's no like flow chart for inter round kind of moves that you have to make.
Exactly. Magic's kind of complicated, where there's like a lot of different stages. There's like a stack queue of actions. So if you do something, it goes on the stack. And if somebody does something to counter that or whatever, that goes on top of that, and that gets resolved first. And it's weird. Doesn't really translate too great to a computer game, but it is a good way to see sorts of cards or sorts of decks that you wouldn't otherwise see, maybe. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of value in that, and since it's free, you don't have to pay anything, so that aspect of it is kind of cool. But whatever, I don't really want to talk about that a whole lot, so I'm gonna skip to the next thing if that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
The last thing I have is I played the demo for Prey.
Oh dang. Yeah.
Oh,
it's pretty good. The demo is pretty good. I definitely recommend trying it out. It feels similar to BioShock, it does feel a little bit similar to BioShock, but it feels similar to Dishonored, and like kind of not the style of the art, but kind of like the engine feels like a similar engine. I don't know if it's the exact same engine or not.
Makes sense. It's the same team.
Exactly. Yeah. So it feels like it's built on the same sort of platform, but it's now like a sci-fi skin, like a future sci-fi skin instead of like a whale punk sci-fi skin. So for some reason, I thought it was a good game. The gameplay kind of feels similar to BioShock, I guess, in how there's like monsters that you're fighting, kind of like the monsters kind of feel like Dead Space, where they are very surprising and a little bit scary, but not too scary.
Right.
But the upgrade system's kind of similar to BioShock, where you have a lot of different trees that you can kind of pursue. But you kind of pick whichever type of perk you want to go down, I guess. So you can kind of focus on hacking and do something like that route. So I guess maybe that I'm talking it out, maybe it's more in the vein of like Deus Ex or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like this is, you know, Arkane is made up of people who did System Shock initially.
Okay.
System Shock and Thief. So like this is, you know, and then I believe that there's some shared personnel between them and the initial Deus Ex. So like you're straight up just spotting like the pedigree of the team when you're saying this, and you are making me very excited to I just installed it today.
Okay, awesome. It looks pretty cool. I won't say anything about what goes on in the demo because it's Yeah. It's definitely well presented. So,
did they give you any kind of options for character customization? Like in terms of like skills or, you know, different opportunities for taking on situations in the demo?
Yeah. So I haven't actually even finished the demo because it's a pretty lengthy demo. But they give you the ability to make upgrade decisions in the demo. Character customization is very bare bones. You just choose male, female, and I think that's the only option you have in terms of character customization.
Okay.
It does seem like there's a good amount of paths that you can go down. And one of the things that I liked about it is so there's one point in the demo, which is the beginning of the game, where when you are first able to upgrade something, they have like reinforcements where it's like, if I choose to do hacking, there's something that I can hack right off the bat. Or if I choose to, one of the skills is being able to lift up objects and like lift up heavy objects, which seems kind of like a weird thing to do, but it's like basically like your strength. So like you might be able to lift up like a car if you see a car, if you max level this or something like that. But there's like objects in the way where if you upgrade it, you can get them out of the way. But if not, then you're kind of stuck and you don't know what goes down that path.
Right.
So that aspect seems really cool. One kind of side note, which I thought about doing this for very brief, but I thought that was interesting, is people have already sped run this game.
Yep,
I
don't know what sped ran.
Yeah, they sped ran it. And one person in particular initially had a speed run of 40 minutes and then brought it down to, I think, 20 minutes, like 3 days after the release of the game, which seems crazy. but even since it's like a horror game, the part of the demo that took me like maybe 20 or 30 minutes to get through, it took him 2 minutes to get through. Which I guess it makes sense. If you know exactly where you're going and you know exactly where the people are spawning and stuff like that and what you need to pay attention to,
yeah,
you can get through things very quickly, I guess.
How, in terms of the structure of the game, you know, how does 20 minutes work? Because I feel like if I think of, for example, like... Dead Space. Like, even if you deleted every enemy from the game, simply like running back and forth would take, you know, longer than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, do you know anything about like what is the thing you're trying to accomplish or whatever?
It's the level progression or progressing through the path feels similar to BioShock. They'll show you a cool new area and you'll have like a specific objective, like I need to do this before I can go to the next room or the next area. And then you kind of have to search around to figure out how to do that. But then once you know how to do that, then you can go to the next area. So like that's kind of how this is judging it from a very, very small sample size of gameplay. But that's what it feels like so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of exploit they were doing as well.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But that's not a knock against it or anything. It's
nice. I'm pretty excited about that game. Arcane has not done me wrong yet. Admittedly, they've only had two chances to do me wrong.
And in the same universe as well. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Is that everything for you?
That's all I got.
Yeah. So most of my, like, I am engaged with this, gaming time has been, going into things for Bonfireside Chat, cause we are in this weird semi overdrive, kind of state for these Souls likes that we're doing. So like Neo and Let It Die are giving me fits at the moment. I've kind of resigned myself. So neither of us are going to beat these games. But we're going to have people on to, you know, who are enthusiastic, who we can talk with, who have beaten it, so we can offset that. People are going to yell at us either way. but
I feel like Let It Die is like a pseudo MMO, right?
That's like a free to play kind of thing. Like you are trying to climb to the top of a tower, and there are 40 floors on this tower. I'm hoping to get to like tower level 20 or something like that, so I can at least say hit the halfway point and fought like half the bosses and stuff, and I'll watch the others. I'll talk at length about those later on. I know Dennis liked Let It Die, but he also didn't talk about it for very long, so I don't know if he played that and like was, you know, crazy into it. The two things that I have been playing since then that I can talk about that, you know, they're not going to be on other shows, are things that it doesn't really make sense to talk about more than I've talked about them. So like Puyo Puyo Tetris, hell yeah, playing a couple of rounds of Tetris every day. There's nothing more to be said about Tetris. Like, and the only thing I can say about like the this version of the game is I kind of wish there was a way to get rid of the character shouts that happen when you make a move. So like when I slam a sick Tetris, you know, when I drop four off of the floor, you know, and my little anime character goes, yeah, like I kind of want to die a little bit. So as far as theming goes, it is I know Tetris and you, sir, are no Tetris DS, but it's on my Switch and it looks amazing, so yeah. The other thing on my Switch that looks amazing is Mario Kart, but what more is there to say about Mario Kart? Just been playing that, like just running a couple of races and trying to do like the 3-star stuff on different tracks and cups and stuff. Yeah, so
totally totally unrelated to that.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely unrelated to that. I just found out that Planescape Torment's re-release is on iOS.
Oh yeah, shit, yeah. That's how I got it on iPad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is new. This changes everything.
It's on my digital mobile device.
Yeah.
Huh.
Go for it. Yeah. It's really cool. You can do like really big zoom ins and stuff.
Well, continue on about the Mario Karting.
No, like I just, so does anybody have any questions about Puyo Puyo Tetris or Mario Kart? Because, you know, they are both games that feel immensely satisfying to play. Like they've in both instances, teams have had times to really just optimize and polish the shit out of them. But I can't think of anything to say like, yes, this is the mind blowing thing about either.
Dude.
When are they going to make a Tetris?
4.
What?
Sorcery 4 is out. I didn't realize that either.
We have lost Jala to the App Store.
Yes, you have. What is there to say about Mario Kart?
That's what I'm saying.
There's nothing.
Why are we talking with our voices so high? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited, Bolt. That's why. I'm yoinking that. Sorcery 4, that'll be on the next time I'm on.
Yeah.
Ben, I didn't know there was a 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah,
I didn't absolutely know that sorcery was countable.
it's an adaptation of a specific game book done in the Inkle engine. Ben, it sounded like you were going to say something about either Tetris or Mario Kart.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a way to make Tetris less, not boring, but like dead horse, I guess. But you can make Tetris like an RPG or a pay-to-play game where you start off and you only have one of the 4 blocks and you have to grind it out before you can unlock the other one.
That sounds like hell.
Have you ever played Puzzle Pirates?
Geez. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of that. Like, what is it? You could technically play Tetris forever if it wasn't for the way the random number generator doled out the L's and the R's. Or whatever those are. So picture the L-shaped block, and then like the chiral pair of the L-shaped block. Like the presence of those two, and when you get one at an inopportune time, kind of creates the necessity for putting an empty space into it, and that is the root of bad Tetris plays, is like not knowing how to deal with those. You can ameliorate that by storing one of the pieces, like just put that away until there is a space for it. But it won't last forever. That is what I've read. I've never tried playing Tetris for forever before. I generally go about 20 minutes.
I wouldn't want to play Tetris forever. Like the thing about it is, you know how long, remember when I was playing Puzzle Juice hardcore and I was like, yes, so I have XYZ million points, and like I thought I was just going to play it for a little bit and die and then go to sleep, and then I didn't die, so I didn't sleep. Like, I don't want that situation on my hands.
You made a genie's wish with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that said, we don't have to beat the dead horse. I just wanted to report that I have been playing those. I love my Switch. It is really great, and I want more things to play on it. That said, how do you feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, there was a dog there.
There was something.
Sorry. My control M was not fast enough.
I will leave that in. Thank you so much for listening to level number 196. We really appreciate it. Last week was the big announcement. I want to clarify, since people have asked, since early release is changing, and most of the other shows are coming out a week in advance, that can't work for this show, actually. What I'm going to try to do is try and have episodes up on Wednesday. We occasionally make allusions to this fact, but we record on Tuesday nights, and the show goes up on Fridays. Or Thursdays if you're on early release. I'll try and get it out a day earlier, but understand, like, because of the immediacy of this, like, it wouldn't make any sense to say, like, all right, we record a week in advance because we have, like, news and stuff, and we talk about and sometimes we talk about new releases.
This is a very topical show, and it would just be confusing if we were talking all about things that were going to happen a week from now. I mean, you'd just be completely weird. You'd be like, what?
And I don't want
Donald Trump won the Dota tournament. What are you talking about? And then a week later you'd be like, oh,
I don't want to reveal the extra special sources of news that we have as podcasters, all of the hot scoops that we get, quite frankly, months in advance. It just wouldn't it wouldn't be couth. Otherwise you can go to patreon.com/tuckfeedtv to support us there, like us on Facebook, or leave us a rating or review on iTunes. All of that goes a long way to help us, and we're just so happy that you're listening. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
No, I don't think so, but Dennis will be back next week.
Oh yeah, he's been on vacation, the bum. Yeah.
Has it been vacation or has it been work? I mean,
both.
If it's vacation, cool.
I think it's been both is the is the thing. He'll tell us when he gets back. Until then, I am Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I'm David Moneysmith at MySmith777 on Twitter.
I'm always Jellichon in places.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles.
Not gonna lie, halfway through that, I forgot how many sevens I was at.
Seven repeating.
Yes,
of course.
Who has titles?
I only have a few.
Okay.
Electrodes for my banana, which I rather enjoy. That makes me happy because
we don't need to know about.
Yeah, the context. Without
Apple
the context,
might filter that title out. But
the context is pretty awesome. So, like the fact that, like, yeah. Anyway, I know this is not going to be a title, but I liked it, so I'm going to say it. Well, I'll be fucked. That was you, Cole, via the BioWare story.
Okay.
Magic the Johnson draft rules.
I just have Magic the Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the old double cockney.
So I would like to point out that three of these are dick jokes.
Magic the Johnson is not a dick joke.
It could be.
And electrodes from a banana, not a dick joke.
It could be.
I will
they you both with your are now.
Oh man, I
much better. I have Magic the Johnson Gathering, which also sounds bad.
Okay.
I have Studio Ghibli's, which go either direction. And I have Dancing with Your Belly.
Yeah, I said that multiple times.
Okay. And David, what you got?
I got nothing.
Okay. I have Magic the Johnson, and I also have Sped Ran. How do you feel about just going with the votes, Magic the Johnson?
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go to bed because I am very tired.
You don't have to read books tonight.
No, I don't. Thankfully, although I do have to do that reading tomorrow, so I'm not up against the wall on deadlines anymore. Mm. Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Night.
Feel better.
Yep. Bye.